Where we are looking at a Christ-like church. We have, for the first two Sundays of the series, been looking at our dreams about what love is. How does the church show love? And we'll recap on that shortly. But today we're talking about the church and community. And we're considering the role of church in community. We're considering all the times and the places that we, as God's people, first of all, meet and are energized together, and then we're considering the times and the places, which are the majority of the time, when we're out in other communities of work and leisure, of family and clubs and societies, all of those things. And our reading today from Jeremiah expressed God's word to his people then, which has a great deal of carryover to us today, that we should seek the prosperity and the blessing of the community and communities in which we live and work, reside, because that is the way that we bring God's blessing to them. I'll tell you a joke about a minister new to an area who was out doing some community visiting. And for this purpose, our minister will be she, as our minister is she. And the minister was going down a road on one side, and on the other side of the road, she saw a little boy trying to reach the doorbell to ring the bell. But he was jumping up and he couldn't quite reach. And so she looked at him for a minute or two as she's walking down the road, and she crossed over and she rang the doorbell for him. And then she bent down to his height and she said, "Hope that helps. What do we do next?" He says, "Now we run." What distinguishes the church from other organisations in the community? For me, it is this, in the words of John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that people should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we as a church affirm that message, that Jesus is Lord. And we seek to draw people towards the way of Jesus. So today, we dream of a church. When the slide changes, I'll just keep on talking. We dream of a church where community is our key word. We dream of a church where community is not considered in rows of people in church, but in selfless sacrifice, lives laid down for each other. We dream of the local community and others further afield being blessed by the generosity of our members. We dream of a church where everything is done with passion and excellence, and lost souls are our top priority. And as I mentioned in the taster a few minutes ago, the church is perhaps the only organisation that primarily exists for those people who are not yet its members. Interestingly, in different times, that saying or versions of it have been attributed to two particular people, Archbishop William Temple, who I think in Victorian times was an Archbishop of Canterbury, and also to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who in the Second World War was martyred for his faith by the Nazis. We'll come back to this key slide in if we are managing to change our slides, in due course. But that is our key message. It's about community. Now, in our first week, we dreamed of a church where people don't just receive love and mercy and grace, but they practice being loving, merciful, and gracious. We dreamed of people coming in, feeling condemned, but being accepted, where the fallen are restored, where the hurting are healed and the lost are saved. We dreamed of the journey of faith being enjoyed, where encouragement is given, where perseverance is applauded as a virtue, and where everyone counts, everyone is appreciated and valued. We aspire to be that kind of church. In our second week, we considered the question of people being welcomed regardless of what they've done, where prodigals are received with open arms and not with judgmentalism. We dreamed of people who, whether they be single or divorced or widowed or orphaned, come here and feel secure as part of the family. We dreamed of a church where fear of failure is not allowed to smother the glorious possibility of success. And that brings us to today. What are your dreams for God's house and people? What does this dream mean for you? Well, it cost Dietrich Bonhoeffer his life as he sought to oppose the fascism of the Nazis. Thank God we don't live in those times, but we thank God for all of those people who, in previous generations, have given their lives that we may live in Christian freedom. Liz and I went to see a film on Friday, Suffragette. I don't know if any of you have seen that film yet, but it tells a very compelling story of how women before the First World War in this country fought a fight of civil disobedience so that the rights of women to vote could be achieved. And I found that very moving. They did so with many motivations, but you can see the effect that a vision has on people when it's a shared vision. Does our Christian vision have an influence upon us that is of that order and effect? Let me share a little of personal vision, and it will find echoes with you, I think, and with your vision. Firstly, as we live in West Kirby, I've had a concern, which I'm sure you will share, for the well-being and prosperity and good Christian things for West Kirby. And for me, leading up to the point where we were inviting our new minister, who's now been here, a year or more, but leading up to that, we having a concern about how we would, as a church fellowship, express our voice to the community. And I was standing up on Grange Hill, looking down over West Kirby, and to tell you a story I've told you before, I found I had a clear voice saying to me, reclaim this community for me. And I felt that was God's voice speaking to me at the time, and that has influenced my actions in a number of ways since. It influenced us to press the Mersey Synod, when they were considering our new minister coming, that we needed a minister to be able to devote themselves to the community of West Kirby here for a while. How long a while remained to be determined, but for a while, to pursue the vision of claiming and reclaiming the community of West Kirby in a way that we set out in the profile of our church. And this has influenced us also through our church reordering process, where we've looked upon the way our building should be developed as a question of the outworking of the vision of the church, that we needed to be open and transparent into our community, that we needed to bless our community with the way that we use our buildings. And there are different ways that you'll be involved in church life that blesses the community. And praise God for that. Think of that as part of the larger vision of this church, where we use our buildings, first of all, as places and our facilities, as a place of welcome and learning, where needs are met and authentic relationships are created and nurtured. So let's consider our own experience in a bit more detail. And if the slide will turn, that will be helpful. Let's just consider this briefly from the point of view of the number of hours that we have available. Well, the 24/7 non-stop life of the world now gives us 168 hours in the week. And within that, we probably sleep, depending on your waking hours or your sleep patterns. We probably sleep some, getting on for 50 to 60 of those, which leaves us with, let's say, 110 waking hours. And of that, probably 10 hours in a week, not more than 10, are probably accounted for by us being a gathered church in Sunday, in worship, in fellowship groups, in other things that we do. But 100 or 110, depending on how many hours you're in church, are out there in the different communities of which we're a part. If you live in the community of West Kirby or wherever you live, a good deal of your time is spent there. But also it will be, as we've said before, in work or in leisure, in clubs, societies of your interest. Those we would describe as the front line of our Christian experience. And this is where what we want to achieve, if we can, is that the 10 hours together are hours of equipping for the 100 hours where we're out there in our different communities of interest, where we can, as Jesus describes it, be salt and light in those communities, where we can bring the message of the gospel in the way we live our lives and in the way we speak. In everyday conversation, and where the opportunity arises, in words of testimony. So 10 hours together support the 110. And we've spoken of Sunday worship, spoken of fellowship groups, and this term in particular, as you know, we're following through frontline fellowship group material. We're all doing the same thing. And considering the way that we can be empowered to naturally bless all of those communities and all of those people in our daily lives with the message of the Christian gospel. How we may, in ordinary and everyday ways, bless them. And all of our activities together build up those communities which are on front line. What does success look like as we're involved in this? Well, first of all, success is where in our everyday life we're able to affirm that Jesus is Lord. It's the way we are. It's like we're a stick of rock and we cut through the middle, and all the way through it says Llandudno or Blackpool or New Brighton, wherever you go on holiday. Probably you can't get sticks of rock from Fuerteventura and other places, I don't know. But, you know, the metaphor works, I hope, for you. So our whole lives, ideally, proclaim that Jesus is Lord. We love each other as brothers and sisters in the family of God. And as we share in those 10 hours together, it empowers and blesses us for the time apart. We're equipped to share our faith and to bless others. This is the way we want to encourage the gathered church to be, to live, to share. To come with an expectation that as we meet, we are meeting with each other, and the Holy Spirit of the living God is pouring through us and working out to all of those we will bless in the week. So I come back to the slide that we started with. The three points that we want to affirm, where the key word is community today. So as we affirm these three points, we dream of a church where firstly community is not considered in terms of rows of people, but in selfless sacrifice of laying down our lives for each other. John 15:13 speaks of this when the Lord Jesus himself spoke these words, that greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And he was our model in that. He paid the ultimate price, which brought us new eternal life. But we too, as we follow him, are to live lives which bless others. And this amazing verse in John 3:16. I think actually this is 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in the same way. Our second point, that the local community and others further afield should be blessed by the generosity of the church and of the members of the church. We read in 2 Corinthians where Paul was writing to the church, that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability to bless others. And it's important to note that as we try to put our vision into practice, we also put our hand into our pocket, so to speak, in the way that acknowledges that God is the giver of all that we have, and we tithe all that we receive in terms of income and one-off gifts as legacy. It's our policy, and it has been for a number of years now, to tithe that, to give 10% away to bless the wider community and the worldwide community, typically through Christian organisations, but Christian organisations that are seeking to bless the communities of which they're a part. And Paul says, as a consequence, men and women will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. So our word and our action and the use of our money all come together in that single expression of vision. Last Wednesday was an important night for us as a church. We made the decision that we would proceed with the reordering of our buildings. By reordering, we mean the bringing up to date of certain parts of our building, the development of those buildings, to achieve the vision that we believe the Lord has given to us. And if I can remind you, the church's vision is set out in this document and expanded at some length. The key is the vision statement that's on the front page. The vision of West Kirby United Reformed Church is to grow a relevant Christ-like church that serves our community. Now, our buildings need to be an expression of that vision. They are already, but they will not serve for the next 25 to 50 years to do that without further development. And I praise God that as a church united, we are able to make that decision that will take us forward with the use of our buildings to bless the community and bless the church community as we reach out into the community of West Kirby. So rejoice with me in that. Take joy in it, because that will give rise to completion by summer of next year. And from January of next year through to June, we'll be working away on executing those developments, and that's a subject that would benefit from all of our prayers, that this may be central to our vision and be a blessing. And thirdly, we dream of the church today where everything is done with passion and with excellence, and lost souls are our top priority. In other words, our top priority is to live our lives as the expression of the new life that the Lord Jesus pours into us through his Spirit. That will create an excellence of virtue, an excellence that's based upon the Lord Jesus pouring his life through us, so that he is the vine and we are the branches, that he is the source of the way we live our lives, and that day by day our lives are renewed and blessed by that experience. Now that is unique in a way that can't happen with anyone that isn't a Christian. We praise God for the virtues of so many people we come across every day who are not Christians, but are models of that we look to and aspire to. But the point I'm making is this, that in each one of our lives, there is something unique to being a Christian that's going on. And that is that God himself is pouring his life through us as we allow him, the life of the Holy Spirit that makes us individually and together the people of God. That creates an excellence that isn't an academic excellence, but is an excellence of virtue. It's an excellence of us, each of us, being the best that we can be. Now, that's not without its tensions and difficulties, because if you're like me, you're troubled with different anxieties and concerns and problems. You're troubled by the affairs of every day. But as you are, isn't it wonderful that we can keep bringing these back to Christ, so that even in the middle of the sleepless night, even in the middle of the temptation to do that which is wrong, even in the failures that are part of our everyday experience, we can keep on coming back to Christ himself, who is the author and giver of life. And we can say, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. Can we try again, please, Lord? And our sins are blotted away, and we are given that ability to again follow in the way of the Lord Jesus. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:22, I've become all things to all men, that by all possible means I may save them. He was expressing a point that he wanted to share empathy with people. He wanted to bless them in every way he could, to not stand on unnecessary scruple. And Peter said, as a word of advice to us all, in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So Peter was saying, in the everyday affairs of life, with gentleness and with respect, do be prepared to share with people the blessing that God has given you. Do be prepared to share the way the Holy Spirit is working through your life, so that people may understand that there is newness of life, and there is blessing, and there is hope, and there is a whole new way of living when one's life is given into God's care, that sins are forgiven, that new life is given, a life that lasts not only for now, but for always, and blesses every part of our living and being. This is what Jeremiah was saying as we come back to our reading. He was saying, even when life seems to be tough, and the people of Israel here were in exile, even when life seems to be tough, get on with the everyday, plant your crops, live your lives out in your families, give your sons and daughters to be married. In doing so, live out in the everyday the life that I've given to you. Bless your community. And then he's saying words that for me are some of the most wonderful in the Bible, and things that are not only underlined in my Bible, but multicoloured. And it's this, from verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will look for me, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. Now, those are wonderful words for the middle of a sleepless night. Those are wonderful words when the anxieties of life are threatening your sanity. Those are wonderful words when the difficulties of life seem to overpower you in whatever you're doing. They were words that helped to bring us to West Kirby back now in 1987, where my job folded in the Midlands and I didn't know where we were going and what we were doing. The motor industry was collapsing, there was very little work, but the Lord, with the many years of hindsight that are now available to us, brought us here to West Kirby. Our children grew up here, we've been blessed as a family, we've been blessed by the community of you, my brothers and sisters, in this church. And I hope that the church gathered may be a blessing to you in the years that come. They will certainly be so if you help to make it so by allowing the Holy Spirit to do what we've been discussing. They will certainly enable you to be a blessing to others. Though you may think of yourself as quite ordinary and nothing special, the life of the risen Lord Jesus is flowing through each one of us, and it flows through to bless others with whom we come into contact day by day. So let these wonderful words touch your life. Share the vision of the church. Let us dream of a church where the love of God flows through us and where we bless our community. And I'm going to suggest that we close by saying together as a prayer the statement of purpose that expands our vision, that again is set out in this document. But I wondered if you'd like at this point to stand and just join me, and let's say this prayer together, and then at this point we will close the sermon. So, under the guidance of God and in the power of his Holy Spirit, our purpose is to know, love, and serve God, and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, we'll wait for it to come. So that together, have you got this now? So that together, whoops. So that together, through God's grace, we grow as committed disciples of Jesus Christ, worshipping him, receiving his love, forgiveness, healing and salvation, being filled with his Spirit and working for his kingdom. Amen. Thank you. And so may the Lord bless you.